You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hi, everyone. It's time for another two adventures from the Tales of the Texas Rangers here at 1001 Stories of the Old West.
And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Three Victims.
It is 5:30 on a Saturday afternoon in August 1935. 18 miles south of the town of Horton, in a hilly section of Texas, a young couple on horseback rides through the brush toward the crest of a long, sloping ridge.
That's path up ahead, honey.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd ever make it.
Well, not tired, are you?
Well, maybe a little.
Well, how about one more race, huh? Stay down the road and across the field over the creek.
No, oh, I've had enough racing today, Tim. Besides, you cheated on the last one.
Cheated? That's a fine thing to say.
It's true. I'd have run easy if you hadn't cheated and gone through those cottonwoods.
Oh, you know that shortcut just as well as I do.
Well, I forgot about it, and it wasn't fair for you to remember. Let's stop a second, Tim. Such a pretty view from here.
Okay, honey. Hold on.
Oh, boy. Oh, this is the nicest time of day.
Yeah.
Sun makes those hills look just like a painting. Remember how we used to ride out here Saturday afternoons before we were married?
Yeah. And I also remember when I had to work Saturdays, you'd ride out here with Ernie Johnson.
Oh, you're not still jealous of Ernie, are you, Tim?
Me? Of course not.
Yes, you are. Tim.
What?
Fella running across that field down there.
Huh? Where? Oh, yeah. He sure is making tracks.
Isn't that the colored fella who works for you every now and then?
I believe it is. Ah, sure, that's Joe.
Looks like he's running away from something.
Don't see anybody after.
Well, maybe something's happened down on the road.
We better go see. Come on, honey. No, not that way. We'll cut straight down his bank. It's quicker.
All right,
easy.
Come on,
boy. Easy, boy.
Come on.
How you making it, honey?
I'm just fine. Car parked on the side of the road down there.
Yeah. Hey, those two people lying on the ground next to her look like they're hurt.
Oh.
Come on.
Get up there.
Come on now.
Come on. They're lying for steel, you think?
I don't know. Hurry up.
Tim?
What?
Someone's coming down the bank toward the car. He's hurt, too.
Well, he's weaving. I don't think he's going to make
it. He's falling. Tim, look at all the blood on his sleeve.
Yeah, whoa, boy.
Oh, he's just a kid. He can't be more than 19 or 20.
Yeah, he's still moving.
Look at his eyes. I don't think he even sees us.
All right, come on, fella. We got to get you to a doctor.
Ah!
No. Come on. Let me help you over the car.
Don't touch me.
Come on. Now, give me a hand here. All right, you're going to be okay, fella. You're going to be okay.
He shot him. Yeah, you reckon it could have been Joe that did it?
Maybe. I don't know. He sure turned up dust getting out of here. What happened, fella? He robbed
him? Yeah, he robbed him. He shot Mama and Papa. He shot me. I ran up the hill.
All right. Now, don't you worry. We'll get you out of the right away.
Tim, yeah. The man and woman over there, and all that blood, I can't go any closer.
All right, honey. You stay here with him. We'll see if I can help you.
Oh, Mama. Papa. Oh, don't. Please don't. Oh, I wish there was something I could.
I never did anything bad to anybody. Why did he have to shoot him? Why?
Honey, you better ride over the town. Play as quick as you can. Call the sheriff. I'll have to take this fellow to the hospital in his car.
His mother and father, they hurt bad.
They're dead.
They're dead.
When the sheriff was notified of the crime, he sent his deputies to the scene of the shooting and requested assistance from the Texas Rangers. Then he drove to the hospital to talk to the injured boy. The young man identified himself as Henry Elman, but was in no condition to give the sheriff a detailed account of the killings. In the meantime, Ranger Jace Pearson arrived at the spot where the bodies were found and began questioning Alice Duncan, who had returned after calling the sheriff.
Where was the boy when you first saw him, Mrs. Duncan?
He was up this hill, about halfway between here and the brush.
But he was on his way back toward the road.
That's right. Oh, it must have been awful for him, seeing his folks get shot and having to run away to keep from being killed himself.
Looks like he was shot at even after he ran away.
How do you know that?
When I was up there, I saw some bullet holes in the trees. You or your husband hear any shots before you got here?
No. First we knew anything was wrong was when we saw the colored fellow running across the
field. You're sure he was coming from this direction?
Oh, yes. Right from where the car was.
You know his name?
His first name's Joe, but I don't know his last. I'm sure my husband does, though. Joe works for him sometimes.
I think that'll be all for the time being, Miss Duncan. Thanks.
If it's all right, Ranger, I reckon I'll wait for my husband and ride home with him.
What's the matter, ma'am?
Nothing. I feel kind of...
You're a little pale. Better sit down over here on this rock.
Oh, yes, I am feeling a little sick. All of a sudden, when I looked at those bodies again, I didn't feel this way till now.
It's reaction. Sometimes it takes a while to hit you. I got some water in a canteen in my car. Would you like some?
I'll be all right. Seems to sit for a minute. Oh, that poor boy. The way he looked when he found out his folks were dead. His eyes. That awful cry.
You don't have to talk about it anymore now, ma'am.
No.
Sheriff's car's coming. Maybe he's got your husband with him. Excuse me a minute.
I feel it was a figure.
Howdy,
Hugh. Hello, Sheriff.
This is Jim Duncan.
Well, howdy, Ranger.
I think you better look after your wife, Mr. Duncan. She isn't feeling too well.
Oh, well, then I'll take her ride home.
She doesn't want to ride her horseback. I'll have my deputy take her home in the car, Jim.
All right, thanks, Sheriff.
J.B.'s on his way out, Jase. Did you talk to the boy in the hospital?
I tried. Found out his name was Henry Ellman. Only thing I could get out of him was a man who robbed him was a Negro. Young Ellman was really in a state. The doc finally had to give him a hypodermic.
Who's that in your car?
Well, it could be our man, Jase.
That the fellow the Duncans were talking about?
Yeah, Joe Cartwright. Tim knew where he lived, so I picked him up at his house on the way out here.
Did you talk to him?
A little bit. He sure tells a phony story. Personally, I think he's in this thing up to his ears.
Well, let's get him into town. We'll find out what he knows. The sheriff took Joe Cartwright ahead in his car, and I followed. On the way into town, I radioed for a lab man to check over the scene of the shooting. Joe was fingerprinted and photographed. 20 minutes later, the sheriff brought him into the office.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Sit down.
Yes, sir.
Ranger Pearson wants to ask you some questions.
Please, Mr. Sheriff, I got a headache. I got it real bad.
Where were you between 5 and 6 this afternoon, Joe?
I reckon I was home, sir.
Now, wait a minute. You told me before you were at the car where the people were killed.
Please, my headache. My back, too. I can't think. I'm so tired.
Were you at the car, Joe?
Yes, sir. Reckon I was.
Did you kill Mr. and Mrs. Ellman?
No, sir. I didn't kill nobody.
How'd you happen to be at the car?
Well, sir, I was walking along this road and I hear shooting. I run to see what it was, and when I got to the car, I seen 2 people laying on the ground. Looked like they're dead.
Tell the ranger what you did then.
Well, I wanted to call the police. So I ran across the field to Mr. Smith's house. That's about 3 miles from the car. I know Mr. Smith, he got a phone.
Or did you call?
No, sir. Mr. Smith, he went home.
What'd you do then?
I started running some more. Down toward the store near where my house is. I know that is the next phone.
But you never did phone, did you, Joe?
No, sir.
Why not?
Well, I was cutting across the field, and when I got almost down to the road, I hear sirens making a big noise and a couple of cars coming along fast. So I know somebody done already called the police.
Then you went back to your house and didn't bother any more about it. That right, Joe?
Yes, sir. I had to feed my hog.
I don't think you're telling us the truth.
I am telling the truth, Mr. Sheriff. I didn't kill nobody.
Let me see your sleeve a second, Joe.
My sleeve?
Uh-huh. You know what this spot is on the corner of your cuff?
No, sir.
It's dried blood. How did it get there?
I don't know, sir. Maybe when I've been over them people to see if they was dead, I might have touched some of the blood.
And you might have got it on you when you killed them.
I didn't kill them, I tell you. Ain't nobody can say I did.
Could be you'll change your story when their boy gets a look at you.
Their boy?
Yeah. He wasn't killed. And he'll be able to identify the man who shot his parents.
Mr. Ranger, please. I don't know what this is all about, and my head's hurting bad. Let me get some sleep, please.
Sheriff. Can you arrange a special lineup for tomorrow morning?
I reckon so.
Henry Ellman should be able to come over by then. Joe, you anything else to tell us?
No, sir.
Think it over. We'll talk to you again in the morning. Early the following morning, we questioned Joe again. He still denied he had anything to do with the robbery and double murder. At 7 o'clock, I called the hospital. The doctor said Henry Ellman was awake and would be able to leave the hospital in 30 minutes. I asked the sheriff to prepare for the lineup. Then I left for the hospital. It was only 3 blocks from the sheriff's office, but I took my car to save Henry the walk. I waited for him in a reception room. He was a slightly built boy of 20. His left arm was in a sling, and his face was pale and drawn from the strain he'd been through the day before.
Ranger Pearson?
That's right. How are you feeling today?
Oh, a little better, I think. The doctor said the bullet went through the fleshy part of my arm. He said I'd only have to wear the sling for a few days.
That's fine.
The doctor said you thought you had the man who held us up.
We're not sure. We'd like you to make an identification.
Well, I'm not real certain I can identify him.
You must have gotten a pretty good look at him.
Well, yes, I did, but everything happened so fast, I'm not sure I'd know him.
I'll just do the best you can. Well, I better get going.
Will there be a lot of men to pick from?
6 or 7. We always like to have at least that many when we use the lineup for identification.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Thanks. I'm not sure I can walk all the way over to the jail.
My car's right out here.
Oh, thanks, Ranger. That's nice of you.
Henry, I hate to bother you with a lot of questions, but it's important that we know exactly what happened yesterday. You're the only one who can tell us.
I've tried not to think about it. When I think about it, I get an awful feeling inside.
Yeah, we can wait a little while before we ask you anything. The lineup will be enough for one morning.
No, maybe it'd be better if I talk about it. I gotta talk about it sometime.
Now, here's the car.
You get in first, Ranger.
All right.
You make it all right?
Yeah, I can make it. I've never been in a police car before. It's interesting. What was it you wanted to know?
Anything you can remember about yesterday.
Well, I came home yesterday from my job in the oil fields. I work in a place about 50 miles from here.
Uh-huh.
I thought Papa and Mama looked tired, so I suggested we take a ride out in the country. We had a fine time. Papa and Mama were laughing.
We can talk about it later if you want.
Yeah. I wanted to show Pop and Mom an old Indian grindstone, so we stopped. We walked up the hill a little way, but it wasn't there.
I know the one you mean. It's about a mile from the place where your car was. Kind of tough to find if you don't know exactly where it is.
Well, I hadn't been out there in 3 or 4 years.
When did you and your parents first see the man? When you came back to the car?
Well, yes. He must have been hiding behind it. He jumped out, waved a gun at us.
Do you have any idea what kind of a gun it was, Henry?
No. Is that important?
Yeah, but don't worry about it. Our lab man will be able to tell as soon as he digs some of those slugs out of the trees.
Oh. Well, the man took all our money. And then Papa. He always had a bad temper. Papa started a fight with him.
Is that when he started shooting?
Yeah, he shot Papa first, and then Mama. I tried to stop him, and he shot me in the arm. I got scared and ran. Oh, maybe I should have stayed and fought with him.
You did the sensible thing. Here we are.
I'm sorry you had to go to all the trouble of using your car just for a few blocks.
It wasn't any trouble. Did this man shoot at you all the time you ran?
Yeah, some of the bullets came real close. I ran up to the brush and hid.
How far into the brush did you go?
Oh, just into the edge of it. He had to come after me. I would have run further. But he just shot up the hill at me. Then I saw him run away.
Uh-huh.
I sure hope you've got the man, Ranger. It can't bring Papa and Mama back. But I think the man who did it should be punished.
He will be. Go on in, Henry.
There's nobody in here. This
is just the room where you wait. I'm the line up in front of the holdover cell. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be back in a minute.
All right.
All set for the lineup, Sheriff?
All ready, Jace.
All right, you fellas. Come on out.
I'll get Henry.
Hurry up, you fellas. Form a straight line. That's it.
All right, Henry.
I'm feeling a little nervous.
You'll be okay.
Now, hands at your sides. No talking. Look straight ahead.
It's far enough, Henry. Now take a good look at these men. Any of them the man who robbed you?
That big man, the second from the end, could I hear him talk?
Step out, Joe. What's your full name?
Joe Cartwright, sir.
Where do you live, Joe?
Farm Road 102.
Ranger, he's the one. He's the one.
Take it easy, Henry.
He killed Papa and Mama. He killed them!
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and our authentic story, Three Victims.
It took nearly an hour after the lineup to calm Henry Ellman down enough to get his full statement. The lab man picked up a copy of it and took it with him to Austin. Henry told us his aunt was arriving from out of town. He wanted to help her with the funeral arrangements, so we sent him home with one of the deputies. Then we brought Joe Cartwright in for further questioning. After 4 hours, we were getting nowhere. Joe, you'd make it a lot easier for everybody if you just told us the truth.
I am telling the truth. I've been telling the truth all along. I didn't kill nobody.
How can you say that after Henry Ellman identified you as the one who killed his parents?
Because he's the one that ain't telling the truth.
Where'd you put the money you took from those people, Joe?
I never took no money.
How about the gun? Did you hide that the same place you put the money?
Mr. Sheriff, Mr. Ranger, you gotta believe me. I didn't steal no money, and I didn't kill nobody. I swear I didn't.
All right, Joe. I'm not going to force you to talk if you don't want to.
If I knowed anything else about this, I'd tell you. But there ain't nothing more I can say.
I'll get it. Ranger Pearson.
Sorry to caught you, Chase. This is Johnny Mitchell from the lab. I'm calling from a country store out there where those killings took place.
I thought you were in Austin.
I was till about an hour ago. I came back.
How come?
There's something funny here, Chase. Something real funny. Can you come out?
Sheriff and I will both be out. See you in 20 minutes. When we reached the place where the Ellmans had been killed, we spotted Mitch halfway up the hill. We climbed the path. Mitch stood at the edge of the clearing looking into the brush. He turned around as we approached him.
Hey, this thing beats me. I can't figure it out.
What's on your mind, Mitch?
Well, according to Henry Ellman's statement, he came up this hill and hit in the brush. Must have been just about where we're standing.
That's right.
He also said the killer was shooting up the hill at him.
Reckon he was. There are bullet holes in the trees all the way up the hill.
Six of them. Five on the way up and one in that tree further up behind this brush. Bullets all came from a Smith & Wesson 38.
What are you getting at?
Well, take a look down at the road. How far would you say it was from there to this brush up here?
Maybe 60 feet.
63, to be exact. I measured it. Now, turn around and look up the hill. See that tree behind the brush?
Uh-huh.
It's 20 feet further up the hill from where we're standing. Now, one of the bullets hit it. I measured the distance the bullet went into the tree. 2.5 inches.
I'm sorry, Mitch, but this don't make much sense to me.
Yeah, maybe it will in a minute. Chase, here's a Smith & Wesson 38. Brought it back from Austin. You mind shooting a slug into that tree?
Any special place you want me to stand?
Right here at the edge of the brush.
What now?
You and the sheriff come with me. I want to show you something.
I wish I knew what you were getting at.
Henry Ellman said the killer fired at him from the road. Like I told you, the bullet I found in the tree went in 2.5 inches. Here's a hole made by your bullet, Chase. Measure how far it went into the tree, will you? Here, here's this.
2.5 inches.
See what I mean?
This sure puts a different light on things.
How, gee?
It means that the bullet Mitch first found in this tree had to be fired from the same place as I just fired.
But that would have been right at the place where Henry said he was hiding.
Yeah, and if the killer was that close to Henry, he wouldn't have left him alive.
You mean Henry's been lying?
Beginning to look that way.
But why?
Something we'll have to find out from Henry himself.
That must be the only place up ahead on the right, Jace, the one with the wreath on the door.
Uh-huh.
I've been thinking about it. If Henry was lying, there's only one answer I can see. He's the one who killed his parents.
We can't be sure of that yet, but he's going to have a lot of explaining to do.
Well, there's only one thing that bothers me. Henry was wounded, too.
Just in the arm. Wouldn't be the first time somebody shot himself trying to cover up a crime.
Ah, the whole thing's unbelievable, though. What could ever make a boy hate his folks enough to shoot him down in cold blood?
If Henry did do it, we're dealing with a psychopath and a clever one. It's not going to be easy to get the proof we need.
Yes? Oh, what can I do for you, Ranger?
We'd like to see Henry Ellman.
Henry's down at the undertaking parlor, I think. I'm his aunt. Can I help you?
You expect Henry home soon?
Oh, he said he'd be back at 5 o'clock. It's almost that now.
Could we talk to you, ma'am, alone?
Why, certainly. Come in. Oh, we've had so many people in all day. Everybody feels so sorry for Henry. Poor boy. Let's see. I think we can talk in the kitchen.
Yes.
I'm afraid you'll find things a mess out here. People have been coming in since morning. Haven't had a chance to even do the breakfast dishes.
That's all right, ma'am. We'd like to ask you some questions about Henry.
Is something wrong?
Just routine. Nature of this case means we have to check every possible angle.
Oh, of course. I still haven't gotten over the shock. Feel like I'm walking around in a bad dream. What did you want to ask about him?
Have you known the boy all his life?
Only since he was six. That's when my sister and her husband adopted him.
Did he get along well with his parents?
As far as I know, I suppose they had the usual family squabbles.
Did Henry always have all the money he needed?
Well, if anything, I'd say Will and my sister spoiled him. He always had plenty of spending money.
Uh-huh. Not counting the strain he's been under the past couple days, does he get upset very often?
Well, I'm not around him too much, but I do know once he tried to commit suicide.
When was this?
About 3 years ago. The family was visiting me in San Antone. Henry shut himself in the garage and started the car. We just found him in time. He said it was an accident, but I never believed it.
Do you know if he's been depressed about anything since then?
Well, he's been pretty disturbed about not finishing school. Well,
why didn't he finish?
He went to the university for a couple of years, but he wasn't a very good student. The dean persuaded Will and my sister to take him out.
How long ago was this?
About a year ago. Henry wasn't at all happy about it. And I don't think he liked the job his father got for him in the oil fields. Oh, matter of fact, I heard him phone his boss this morning and tell him he was quitting.
Uh-huh.
Ranger, if there's something wrong, I think I've got a right to know what it is.
Yes, ma'am, you have, but I...
Doris, they told me that... Oh.
Hello, Henry.
Hello, Ranger. Sheriff? Nice of you to stop by.
We want to ask you a few more questions, Henry.
About Mom and Papa? What happened yesterday?
That's right.
Well, I don't see what more you have to ask me. I got the man who did it.
Maybe so, but we'd like to have you come along with us anyhow.
Well, I'm kind of busy now. The funeral's tomorrow, you know. I could talk to you later tonight, but it'll be better after the funeral.
Henry, if the ranger wants you to go with him...
I haven't got time, Aunt Doris. Ranger, why don't you come back tomorrow night? Then I'll have plenty of time to answer all your questions.
I think you better come along with us, Henry. Now... We put Henry in the car and drove out toward the place where his parents had been killed. When we reached the edge of town, I could see him getting nervous, but he said nothing until we began to drive along Farm Road 102.
You wanted to ask me questions, Ranger? Well, why don't you go ahead and ask them? Well, why don't you ask me? Look, I know where you're taking. You're taking me out to the place where Mom and Papa were killed, aren't you? Well, aren't you?
Now, you just take it easy, Henry.
It's not fair to bring me out here. I'm not well. I can't stand a lot of strain. It's just not fair.
All right, Henry. Get out.
What for?
We want you to show us something.
What?
Get out of the car, Henry.
Well, you've got no right to bring me out here, Ranger.
It's the spot where your car was parked yesterday, isn't it?
I've told you all I know. You've got the murderer. Why do you keep asking me questions?
Where'd you run when the man chased you?
Why do you call him the man? You know his name. It's that Joe fella. I pointed him out to you, and those other people saw him, too.
The ranger asked you a question, Henry. Where'd you run?
I told you that. Up this hill.
Show us just where you ran.
I don't know why I have to do this.
Come on, show us, Henry.
All right. It was this way. Over here, toward this path.
Was he shooting at you all the time?
I told you he wasn't. He only started to shoot after I ran up the hill.
Up this path?
You know that.
Come on, Henry. I'll help you.
You take your hands off me! That's my sore arm. I was shot there. The man who killed Mom and Papa shot me, too.
I believe you're right about that.
Well, of course I'm right.
Come on. You're sure he didn't come up the hill after you?
Why do you ask that?
Just answer the question.
I've already told you. He stayed down on the road and shot at me up the hill.
Uh-huh. Henry, your mother and father took you out of school last year, didn't they?
Yeah. My father wanted me to work. I shouldn't have left school. I owe it to the world to finish my education.
What were you studying?
Physics. Everybody in the university admired me. The professors said that I'd be the world's most brilliant scientist someday. Why are we stopping here?
This was as far as you went, wasn't it? You hit at the edge of the brush there.
That's right.
You see how you were able to pick Joe out of the lineup.
What do you mean?
You had a clear view of the road from here.
I saw him closer than that when he shot Mom and Papa. And when he put that bullet through my arm.
You never shot your parents, Henry.
What are you talking about? I saw him.
No, you didn't. Our lab proved that the bullet he found in the tree up there had to be shot from where we're standing right now.
What's that mean?
That nobody shot at you. That you stood here and shot into that tree yourself.
I don't know what you're doing.
You killed your parents, Henry. Now, didn't you? Didn't you, Henry?
Yeah. I killed them. I had to do it. They took me out of school. I had to do it.
Where'd you put the gun and money?
I buried them. I passed that big rock.
Take a look, Sheriff.
Sure, Jay.
I killed him. You should have known I had to go to school. Why did they take me out?
Let's go.
I had to kill him.
for a long time now. I hated them. I hated them.
Come on, Henry.
In just a moment, we will tell you the results of the case you have just heard.
Here at NBC, we're all excited about the five great programs which return from their summer vacations this week. And we know that all radio listeners will be happy that many of their favorite shows will once again be a regular part of our program lineup. Listen to this list of top entertainment. The Cavalcade of America, Big Story, The Roy Rogers Show, Father Knows Best, and Your Hit Parade. Tuesday, Joan Caulfield will star in the Cavalcade of America dramatization of The Patriot with Chestnut Curls. Wednesday's Big Story broadcast comes directly from the front pages of the Detroit Free Press and is a story which will touch your heartstrings. Thursday evening, Roy Rogers will tell the story that happened when Trigger shoots the works. And Robert Young returns to the Anderson household to find that, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home when Father Knows Best. And Friday evening, Guy Lombardo and his orchestra will play and sing America's favorite popular music on your hit parade. Make a note to hear all of these popular programs on NBC. Now, the conclusion of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
Joe Cartwright was immediately released from jail. Henry Ellman made a full confession to the murder of his parents. On November 21st, 1935, he was given a sanity trial in the county court. A six-man jury declared him legally insane. Henry Ellman was committed to a state mental institution.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. McRae is currently seen in San Francisco Story, a Warner Brothers release. The cast included Tony Barrett, Virginia Gregg, Bert Holland, Ken Christie, Ernie Newton, and Roy Glenn. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Charles E. Israel, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. Tales of the Texas Rangers is heard overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Hal Gibney speaking.
Tonight, hear the Hollywood Bowl concert on NBC.
Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers.
Now, here are Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Misplaced Person.
It is 1:30 p.m., Tuesday, November 6, 1949, near Stockville, Texas. A woman and her five-year-old son are entering a path through the woods on their way to a neighbor's house.
Rowdy, what on earth are you hanging back for? Do you want to miss the whole party?
Mommy, I don't want to go that way.
Hurry up. We're half an hour late already.
I don't want to, Mommy. There's a ghost in there.
Rowdy. Quit your dawdling and come on.
Mommy, there's a bad thing in here. I'm scared.
Now, honey, ever since Halloween, you've been imagining things. I told you there's no such thing as goblins and boogeymen. Now, come on, dear.
But I saw it, Mommy.
Oh, Lammy, there's nothing to be frightened of. Your mommy's right here with you, isn't she?
I don't want to go to sleep.
Now, Roddy, we can't be a baby all our lives, can we? Now, come along, honey.
I don't want to go to the party.
Roddy, you're just letting your imagination run away with you. Where is the thing you saw?
It's in the bushes. Who was there?
Take hold of Mommy's hand. That's right. Now show me where it is.
I don't want to.
Come on, Robbie. Mommy wants to show you that there's nothing to be frightened of. Is it over that way?
Yes.
All right. I'll show you. Come on. Ghosts and goblins are just make-believe, honey. You don't want to grow up to be a scaredy cat, do you?
No.
All right, then. You show Mommy where it is.
It's right over there.
By that bush?
Uh-huh.
Now, Mommy will prove to you that it's all your imagination.
There it is, Mommy.
Where?
Roddy Clark was not imagining things. What he had seen in the brush was the bruised and beaten body of a dead woman. His mother immediately notified the sheriff of Starkville County, who sent for the aid of the Texas Rangers. Rangers Jace Pearson and Clay Morgan were assigned. While Ranger Morgan searched the area around the body for tracks, Ranger Pearson talked to the little boy's mother.
Oh, I was scared half out of my wits when I saw it, Ranger.
What's your name, ma'am?
Emma Clark. My little son really found it.
Kind of tough for a little kid to see something like that.
Oh, I just hope you'll be able to sleep tonight.
Is the body just the way it was when you found it, ma'am?
Yes, it is, Ranger. As soon as I saw it, I ran to the neighbors and phoned the sheriff.
Jay, come here a minute.
All right, Clay. Thank you very much, ma'am. I guess that'll be all for now. We want you to sign a statement later on.
I'll be glad to. Sure hope you can catch the murderer, Ranger.
You find something, Clay?
Yeah, I found this purse just off the road, Jace.
Hey, look, it's got some blood on it.
Any identification in it?
I haven't been able to find any. Quite a bit of money, though.
And throws out robberies, the motive. Anything else?
Oh, usual claptrap women carry. Compact, lipstick, cigarettes. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a cash register receipt that has something scribbled on it.
What's it say?
Dr. Schiller, Avalon 818.
That might help. Maybe the woman was one of his patients.
Well, it's something to start on, anyway.
Yeah. Maybe he can tell us who she is. We checked with the telephone company and found that Avalon 818 was the telephone number of a trailer court just outside Corpus Christi. We called and found that a Dr. Schiller lived there. We talked to him and asked him to meet us the next morning at the funeral parlor in Stockville. At 10:30 the following day, we were checking over the woman's clothing in the waiting room of the mortuary when a thin, erect man walked in.
Dr. Schiller?
Yes?
I'm Ranger Pearson.
And this is Ranger Morgan.
How do you do?
Howdy.
Have a chair, doctor.
Thank you very much.
We sent for you, Dr. Schiller, because a woman we think you must know was found murdered yesterday.
How shocking. Who is it?
We don't know. But your name and telephone number were scribbled on a market slip found in her purse.
Oh, that's even worse, isn't it?
Have you ever seen this purse before, doctor?
No, I don't recall that I have.
Here's the market slip.
May I see it, please?
Sure.
Extraordinary. Yes, it is my number, gentlemen.
Do you recognize the handwriting?
No, sir, I do not.
Are you practicing in Corpus Christi, doctor?
Oh, no. I wish that I could practice here. But you see, I've come to America on a quota. Just recently. I'm not yet a citizen.
How long have you been here?
I left Vienna 6 months ago.
Are you an M.D.?
Yes, for many years. You see, I was in Psychologie Klinische.
I'm not much of a linguist, doctor. Would you,
Excuse me. Clinical psychology. I was with Dr. Jung at Zurich.
I see. Doctor, do you have any idea how your number got into the dead woman's purse?
None whatsoever. How could I, when I have no idea to whom this purse belongs?
I think perhaps you'd better take a look at the body. You might recognize the woman and be able to tell us something.
It is possible.
You come into the next room with us, doctor?
Very well.
Some decomposition has set in, of course, but the features are still recognizable. There's a body on that slab.
She must have been frightened when she died, judging from the muscle tension.
Yes. Well, doctor?
I'm quite positive, Ranger Pearson, that I have never seen this woman before this moment.
You think someone else gave her your name and number?
Perhaps.
Can you think of anyone who might have?
No, I'm sorry. I'm quite mystified.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Schiller. We have your name and address, and we'll send for you again if we need you.
Do, by all means. I should be happy to be of any assistance that I can.
Thank you. Goodbye, sir.
Good day, gentlemen.
Well, where do we go from here, Jace? to me like a long, hard night digging into the files on missing persons. Examination of over 200 reports on missing persons finally produced a record which described the murdered woman. We sent for a Mrs. Fields, who had reported her sister missing for several weeks. She identified the body and expressed distrust of her sister's husband, Thomas Red Orme, a fisherman. She stated he had recently collected insurance on the drowning of Mrs. Orme's son. Since the husband had filed no report on his wife's disappearance, we drove to Corpus Christi to talk to him. We located Orme on the Shrimper Caroline, a beat-up trawler moored to the slime-covered piles of a wharf in Redfish Bay.
Caroline, here it is, Jase.
Yes, you sure a rusty old tub. Let's go aboard, Clay.
Right.
You can smell that brine from here to Galveston. Well, he's not in the pilot house.
Yeah, no sign of him.
Yeah, maybe he's below in the cabin. Come on, let's go down.
All right.
Who's there?
Mr. Orme?
Who is it?
I'm Ranger Pearson. This is Ranger Morgan.
What's on your mind, Ranger?
We'd like to ask you some questions.
Well, I'm pretty busy getting ready to pull out tomorrow on a 3-day haul.
I'm afraid you have to change your plans, Mr. Orme.
What for? Old shrimp fleet's out ahead of me now. If I don't get moving, I'll be lucky if I drag in a stingaree.
I'm glad we got you before you took off, then. I want to ask you a few questions about your wife.
What about her?
You've been missing for several weeks, hadn't you?
Yeah. Nigh on to 8 weeks since I set eyes on her.
You tried to locate her?
No.
Why not?
Because I was fed up with her beefing and bellyaching around. Figured it's good riddance.
I think we ought to tell you, Mr. Orme, that your wife's dead. Somebody murdered her.
Oh.
He's beaten to death.
You've been having trouble with your wife, haven't you?
What about it?
Maybe you better tell us about
it. There's nothing to tell. Didn't get along, that's all. After a kid drowned, she got worse and worse.
You collected insurance after the boy was killed, didn't you?
Sure, why shouldn't I? Supported him for nigh on to 10 years. Who had a better right?
Why didn't you turn in a missing persons report on your wife, Mr. Orme?
Does a man have to wigwag it to the whole world when his wife walks out on him?
How many weeks ago did you say she left you?
About 8, I reckon. She took all my money with her. I've been saving for years to buy me a new motor for this stink bucket. Really fixed me up, she did.
Have you seen her since she left?
Yeah, just once. A couple of days after she walked out. Tried to get her to come back to me, but she wouldn't.
You know where she was staying?
No. I can tell you what she's doing. Spending all my money on some crackpot doctor.
Doctor?
Yeah. If Alma's laying in the locker now, it's all his fault. He's the one got her crowjacking in the wrong direction with all his blubber about what's going on in her mind. As if he could tell what a body's thinking.
Her mind, huh?
Yeah. She used to come home nights and goad me with a lot of big, crazy-sounding words. Do you know what they meant herself? Said he was helping her to get over losing the boy. Only reason I put up with it.
What was the doctor's name?
Don't know. She never would tell me.
Was he a psychologist?
He's a quack. That's what he was.
Did you ever see him, Mr. Orme?
No, and I never want to. Talked to him on the phone once. That was enough.
When was that?
One night when I caught Alma calling him from a payphone in the fish house. Grabbed the phone and told him to man his own braces. Leave my wife alone. That was the night she left me. Said I'd disgraced her.
Can you remember anything about his voice or the way he talked?
Yeah. Sounded to me like he had a mouthful of snap beans.
Well, thanks, Mr. Orme. We'll see you later.
Now, you ain't going to keep me here in port when the shrimp are running, are you? It's my living, you know.
Services for your wife are tomorrow.
I'll do my thinking alone, Ranger. Reckon I wouldn't want to see you now anyways.
Would you only be gone 3 days?
That's all.
You got a radio on board?
Sure. You can always contact me through the Coast Guard. I'll be with the shrimping fleet out yonder in the Gulf there.
Okay, Mr. Orme. Go ahead. We'll know where to find you.
Just my luck to haul in a mess of jellyfish.
Wish you luck.
Come on. Thanks. This doctor sounds like our friend Schiller to me, Jase.
Uh-huh.
And then he was lying to us.
Yeah. Let's go get a wand.
Continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and our authentic story, Misplaced Person.
We got a search warrant and headed for the court where Dr. Schiller lived. When we got there, a Mrs. Akers, who ran the place, told us he wasn't home, but walked us over to his trailer. Wanted to get a little background on Schiller, so we let her rattle on about the doctor.
You see, it ain't often an old shoe like me get a chance to talk to a famous Viennese psychiatrist like Dr. Schiller.
Suppose not.
Yes, ma'am.
Besides, it sure is gratifying to have one four-wheeler in here that ain't loaded with upteen kids. Oh, this is it, Rangers.
How long has the doctor's trailer been parked here, Mrs. Aker?
Oh, about 4 months, I reckon. And, Ranger, in that short time, I've learned things about myself. What I mean is the doctor's brought out the inner someone that's really me.
You mean he's been telling you what goes on in your mind?
Yeah. You see, I used to fool myself all the time. Used to rationalize, sublimate, all them defense kind of things. Now I've just thrown away my inhibitions. I'm beginning to look life square in the eye. It's bleak, but rewarding.
I see. How long has Dr. Schiller been helping you, Mrs. Akers?
Oh, most ever since he came, I guess. Of course, psychoanalysis is just exhausting. But when I think of all the years I thought cooking was my primary urge, well, I didn't even know what a libido was in those days.
How much does Dr. Schiller charge you for these treatments, ma'am?
Plans. He don't charge me anything. I just give him a check once in a while for his relief fund.
Relief fund?
Yeah. See, doctors always thinking about them poor, misplaced persons wandering all over the map of Europe. Likes to send them over money for shoes and grub for their knapsacks and all.
Has the doctor any other patients, Mrs. Akers?
Well, I told you, he ain't practicing. Just likes to unscramble a few friends of his out of the kindness of his heart.
Mrs. Akers, this picture is from a missing persons file. You ever seen this woman in your trailer court?
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Well, that's Miss Orme. She's a real good friend of Doc Schiller's. Used to come see him right often.
When was the last time you saw her?
Oh, it's been quite a spell now. A month or two anyway. Must have left town, I reckon.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Akers. I reckon we'd better go in now, Clay.
Yeah.
Well, I told you the doctor was out, Ranger.
We have a warrant, ma'am.
Warrant? He ain't in any kind of trouble, is he?
We don't know yet. You want to come in with us?
I can't. I got to get back to dice my ham, but you go right ahead, Rangers, because I'm dead sure Dr. Schiller's got nothing to hide.
Thanks very much, ma'am.
Seems like there's nothing much in here but books, Jace. Most of them are foreign.
Let's have a look in that desk over there.
Yeah.
Look at this address book, Clay.
Find something?
Yeah. Here's Alma Orme's name and address.
Here he is, Jason.
Yeah.
Good evening, gentlemen. Is it an old American custom to be called when the host is not at home?
We have a warrant to search your trailer, Doctor.
So, well, I see that you've already found what you want.
That's right, Doctor. I thought you told us you didn't know Mrs. Orme.
As I recall, when I talked to you, you did not know her name. Isn't it not so?
That's true. When you looked at her in the funeral parlor, you said you'd never seen her before.
Come on, let's not waste time, Doctor. We have evidence that she came to your trailer often.
Quite right. So she did.
And you must have recognized the body.
Yes, I recognized Mrs. Orme, but I did not wish to be questioned as to what I know about her.
Why?
Because in my profession, such information is confidential.
Even when she's dead?
Of course.
I'm afraid we can't go along with that, Doctor. We're investigating a murder. As far as ethics are concerned, what about your practicing without a license?
I do not practice. I listened to the troubles of a few friends of mine, that is all.
But you received money from them.
Yes, I did. But not for myself. For those persons abroad who have to stare into the rubble of their home and trudge on, the memory dragging down on their backs. I have been destitute and penniless myself, I know.
Can you actually prove you sent these donations?
Of course. Here. This is my canceled check, gentlemen, made out to the relief organization at Oberhagen. And here on the back, you will see the notation. Mrs. Akers, $55. Mrs. Orme, $40. As you will see, my check represents the total of their donations.
Now, if you don't practice here, Doctor, then you have money of your own to live on.
No. Do you see these hands?
Yes.
These are the hands that once held a trepan in the most delicate of brain operations. Now they fold dressings, boil instruments, push patients in wheelchairs.
Where?
At the Thaxton Clinic here on Corpus Christi. When? Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 2 until 10.
Well, I can easily check that, you know.
Precisely. That's why I told you.
Why didn't you want to identify Mrs. Orme's body?
You are intimating, of course, that I'm under suspicion of murder.
You lied to us, Doctor. Why shouldn't you be?
I see.
We want to know why you lied to us. Now, Dr. Schiller, I asked you a question.
All right, gentlemen. When I learned that Mrs. Orme was dead, I was afraid. Afraid that if I admitted knowing her, I would be accused of practicing without a license.
and my chances for becoming a citizen would be seriously impaired.
Well, if you weren't practicing, what'd you have to worry about?
Her husband.
Mr. Orme?
Yes. He threatened to accuse me of taking money for the treatment of his wife.
I see.
This man is vicious, a hypomanic type. I was always afraid if Mrs. Orme stayed with him longer, some violence would come to her.
So you told her to leave him?
Naturally. If she had taken my advice, this tragedy might have been averted.
You know, don't you, Doctor, that just by giving advice you are guilty of practicing without a license?
But what would you have me do? Stand by and see this poor woman suffer when I had the power to help her?
A licensed psychiatrist you could have sent her to.
I tried to, but she wanted advice from me as a friend. And it was as a friend that I gave it to her, with no thought of compensation.
We don't make the laws in this state, Doctor.
But if you could have seen as I did, the terror in that poor woman's mind, you would have done the same thing. It doesn't take a doctor to know that this man is dangerous. Even the night he was here, he flew into a rage and struck her.
Wait a minute. You say you've seen Mr. Orme?
Certainly.
When?
The night he came here to my trailer and threatened to accuse me of illegal practice.
Mr. Orme said he'd never met you.
Why, the man nearly strangled me. There was a shameful scene on the steps out there.
Anybody else see you with him?
Of course. He must have aroused the whole trailer court.
Can you remember any specific witness who could identify him?
Oh, yes. Mr. Harker, Willie Harker. He lives down there in the last trailer.
What was the date of all this, Doctor?
It was the last time Mrs. Orme visited me. Let me look on my calendar. Let's see here. Yes. Yes, it was October 3rd, about 5 weeks ago, I should say.
It checks pretty closely with the approximated date of the murder, Clay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Did Orme take his wife with him when he left here?
Yes. I was alarmed for her safety.
Looks like you had good reason to be. You know, don't you, Doctor, that we're going to have to check up on all these things?
I hope you will.
And why don't you come along with us while we talk to Willie Harker?
Of course, gentlemen.
Dr. Schiller led us to a two-wheeled trailer parked about 100 feet from his own. We could hear a baby crying, and a thin, sallow little man was sitting on the steps. When he saw us coming, he got up quickly and went inside. Was that Harker?
Yes, said it, he.
Mr. Harker?
Yeah?
Texas Rangers. Will you come outside? We want to talk to you.
Yeah? Oh. Hello, Doc.
Dr. Schiller here says that you saw a man named Red Orme drag his wife out of the doctor's trailer several weeks ago. Is that right?
No. I don't know anyone by that name. I never heard of him.
Mr. Harker.
Just a minute, Doctor. He's a big fella. He's got a red face. I understand he was pretty rough with his wife.
I'm sorry. I can't remember anything about it. If that's all, would you excuse me? I'd like to go change a baby. My wife's out. The kid's kind of fussy today.
Hey, wait a minute, Harker.
Yeah?
You're sure you didn't see a man and his wife quarreling outside of the doctor's trailer?
No, sir. Ain't seen anything out of the ordinary that I can recall.
Mr. Harker, what do you mean you didn't see anything?
Just what I said. I don't know nothing about any quarrel.
Well, Doctor?
Why, Mr. Harker, you followed him out to his car. Don't you remember?
No. No, I'm sorry, Doc.
Oh, Mr. Harker, I know what it is. You're trying to protect me. You think I'm in some kind of trouble, no?
I just can't remember anything about it.
We're investigating a murder, Harker. If you do know anything, I advise you to tell us.
If you don't, you're practically convicting me.
Well, how can I tell what I don't remember?
He's lying. You are deliberately lying. Why? Why? Tell me that. What are you afraid of? You have to tell the truth.
I wouldn't be holding back anything if I were you, Harker.
But I don't know anything.
Tell them the truth. Mr. Harker, if I had not been afraid, I would not be under suspicion now. I was brought up on fear, but why should you be afraid?
Well, Harker?
All right. I was afraid to tell what I saw. I'm afraid for my wife and kid. I got more reason to protect them than protect you, Doctor.
Let's have it, Harker. Tell us what you saw that night.
Well, just like the doc here said, Orme dragged his wife out to the car, and he started beating her. She screamed, so I followed him. I tried to help her, that's all.
What happened?
Grabbed me by the neck and like to strangle me. Wouldn't let go of that promise to keep still about what I seen.
See anything more?
No. I beat it as fast as I could. I was afraid he'd change his mind and really crook me. He was putting his wife in the back seat of the car last I seen.
Was she unconscious?
Sure looked like it. He wasn't moving anyway.
Why didn't you report this to the police?
Well, because I was scared of
him. All right, Mr. Harker. You and the doctor come down to the sheriff's office with us. We want to take written statements from both of you. We took the statements of the doctor and Willie Harker. While Red Orme was still at sea, we located his car. There were bloodstains on the floor of the back seat. We took these to our lab in Austin for examination. The stains matched Mrs. Orme's blood type. We headed back for Redfish Bay. When we reached the wharf, the Caroline was riding at her moorings. There he is, Jace, up forward, drying his nets.
Hey, Orme.
Who is it?
Texas Rangers.
Got that quack doctor yet?
Yeah, we talked to him.
Weasened up little crawfish. I'd throw him back if I caught him. What'd you do, lock him up?
Not yet.
So the killer's still walking around loose, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Say, what's eating you? What do you stand there glaring at me for?
I thought you said you'd never seen Dr. Shipp.
I ain't, and if I ever do, I'll beat the tar out of
it. I think you've done about enough beating.
What do you mean?
You were seen dragging your wife out of Schiller's trailer, Orme, the night she was killed.
Yeah?
Two witnesses saw you hit her.
That's a lie.
No, it isn't. We even found blood on the upholstery of your car that matches your wife's.
Why, you sneaking lubber snooping around my digs while I'm out at sea. I'll throw the both of you off here.
I wouldn't try it, Orme. Put out your hands.
I'll douse your glims for you.
Now, Jay! I told you not to try it.
Get up now. Give me the cuffs, Clay.
Here, Jason.
Ain't gonna get beef for murder. Because I didn't mean to do it. I just wanted to teach her a lesson.
You did kill her, then?
No, I just got sore and I struck out at her. And when she wouldn't answer me, I got madder and madder.
You better come along, Orme.
You can't blame me for this. She had it coming to her. She had it coming to her!
Suppose we let the court decide that.
No.
Come on.
No.
In just a moment, we will tell you the results of the case you have just heard.
Many of your favorite NBC programs already have returned to the air in their regular fall time periods. And throughout the coming weeks, many more great programs will once again be featured on the NBC radio network. This week, we know you'll want to hear The Cavalcade of America on Tuesday with Robert Cummings in the starring role. Wednesday brings another authentic big story and the recounting of a reporter's battle to prove the identity of a killer. Thursday on NBC features both The Roy Rogers Show and Father Knows Best. And this Friday, Guy Lombardo will bring you the nation's most popular music on Your Hit Parade. These five favorite programs are sure to please, and they're only a small part of the entire weekly lineup of enjoyable listening on NBC. So remember, this week it's Cavalcade of America, The Big Story, Father Knows Best, The Roy Rogers Show, and Your Hit Parade. Five favorites back for the fall season on the NBC radio network. Now, the conclusion of today's Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
Confronted with the evidence against him, Thomas Red Orme signed a confession admitting the brutal killing of his wife. He was charged with murder with malice and sentenced to 99 years in the state penitentiary at Huntsville. No charge was made against Dr. Schiller.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen in San Francisco Story, a Warner Brothers release. The cast included Tony Barrett, Herb Ellis, Henry Rowland, Dan Riss, Virginia Gregg, and Dick Beale. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Betty Mears, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keith. Tales of the Texas Rangers is heard overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
Tonight, hear the Hollywood Bowl concert on NBC.
Thanks for joining us for Tales of the Texas Rangers with Joel McRae. This is your host and storyteller, John Hagedorn. This is 1001 Stories from the Old West. Reviews are always appreciated. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll be back soon.